Blog Talk Radio.
One of his true miracles. What am I going to say?
Jesus,
it was my job.
Draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me.
There is fullness of joy.
Amen, amen. Welcome in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, to the whole Lamb of God, Eagle Language Style. Amen. I'm your messenger for this evening. Amen. Prophet Joshua Brown. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, to all the eagles out there. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, who is speaking the language of the third heaven. I greet you in the name of our Lord, amen, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen. Amen. Also known as Yahushua, amen, the Most High God, Yahuwah. He's El Shaddai, El Barat, El Hasim, El Royhai, amen, El Alam. So in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, we're going to go into prayer. We can't do anything without prayer. I'd like to give honor to God, who's the head of my life. And I also like to salute the ministry that God has set me in, amen. Shofars of Glory Temple, the apostolic hub down here in South Carolina, the apostolic prophetic hub, amen, where I'm a father to many, old and young. I'd like to also, amen, salute, amen, co-pastor, amen, Nathan Hill, and also salute my wife, amen, elect lady prophetess Tanya Brown, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is with her Bible open and notebook, amen, open, amen, attentively listening to the word of God, just like we all. Amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. If you would like to fellowship with us, amen, on Sundays at 4 p.m., definitely come to Cannon Bridge Road in Cordova, South Carolina. We would love to have you where the word of God is preached, taught from its purest form. Amen. You may join the rest of the prophets and prophetesses and those who are in training and the many leaders who stop by to check out what's going on. In the name of Jesus Christ. So we're going to get started. We're going to go into prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, I trusted that you got your oil and your tallit. If you listen to us on 5 a.m. prayer, you know this ain't nothing new. Amen. Prayer is what we do here in this ministry. Prayer is the fire that is on the altar. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, anoint me, Lord God. Let the words and meditation of my heart be guided and be pleasant in your sight, led by the Holy Spirit, God. These are your sheep, God, that you purchased with the shedding of your own blood, God. So I ask that you give me the eyes of an eagle, the nose of a bear in the spirit, Lord God, and, Lord God, the ears of an eagle, Lord God, an owl in the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Walk in me, God, lead and guide me that I may minister to the needs of your people, God. God, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, anything that will hinder your word from going forth tonight, Lord God, we ask that you bind it in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Forgive us for our sins, Lord God, for we fall short daily, God. Lord God, make us into your image, God. Make us sober in the name of Jesus. Make us holy in the name of Jesus Christ. Make us righteous by your redemptive blood, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Shake up the airways. Do something special for your people tonight, God. I ask that you shake up every house, God. I ask that you shake up, Lord God, every car, every automobile, every kitchen, every den, every bedroom who are listening by the sound of my voice, God, in the name of Jesus. Feed your eagles, God, like only you can in the name of Jesus Christ. Some eagles need to be pushed out of the nest tonight, God. Some eagles need to be encouraged, Lord God. Some need revelatory prophetic teaching, God, in the name of Jesus, God. God, these are your prophets, God. These are your prophetic vessels, God. God, if your vessels are not fed, Lord God, we begin to get frustrated, God. We begin to feel a certain way, Lord God. So you said, I reveal my secrets, hallelujah, to my servants, the prophets, in the name of Jesus Christ. So God, we lift you up, hallelujah, that you may draw all men unto you in the name of Jesus. Quicken me, God, Old Testament, New Testament, God. Here a little, there a little, Lord God. Line upon line, precept upon precept, Lord God. Rightly dividing the word of truth, Lord God, that Old Testament may harmoniously blend with New Testament, Lord God. We don't want to make Paul have an argument with Moses. We don't want Samuel to have an argument with Jesus, Lord God. Let it flow like only the Holy Spirit can allow it to come forth, God. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We lift you up, God. We ask that your angels, God, check everything in the spiritual realm. If there's any spirit, Lord God, that will hinder anybody, including myself tonight, bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Lord God, we declare and we decree every holy angel on assignment go forth right now in the name name of Jesus Christ. Prepare the realm of the Spirit, Lord God. Roko Tobo Shanda. We ask for cherubs with swinging swords of fire to surround us in the name of Jesus, protecting the integrity of the spiritual realm as we bring forth the eagle language in the name of Jesus Christ, as we teach proper etiquette of the prophetic, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, let all of God's people say amen. My God, amen. Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. My God. We bless the Lord, amen. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. We have understanding of all names in this ministry. So if you have a problem with Yeshua HaMashiach, amen, Yahuwah or Yahushua, amen, that'll do for you as well. Hallelujah. See, we know that God reveals himself, prophets, in a special way. I'm going to take my time tonight. When it comes to God, when it comes to him, he expresses himself differently to each prophet. Stay with me. Don't you dare hang up. Amen. See, that's the problem you need to learn tonight. Watch this. He expresses himself differently to every prophet, but it's still all the same. So if God reveals yourself, my God, if he reveals himself to you as Jehovah Jireh, then he reveals himself to me as El Shaddai. Amen. It doesn't mean that God is doing something different with you. He's just revealing himself to you based on your understanding. Are you listening? God is only revealing himself to you based on where you at. Amen. See, God knows how to deal with his prophetic vessels in a very strategic kind of way. In the proper etiquette of prophetic, we come from the first chapter of, matter of fact, the first book of Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, the Bible declares, it says, and God had set some in the church, first sent ones, secondly spontaneous ones. You may say, wait a minute, my Bible don't say that. It says God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets. So when the prophet looks at this verse, we see that God has first sent, he sat in the church, sent ones, and he sent spontaneous ones, chosen ones. He sent sound doctrine in the form of teachers. After that, the supernatural, miracles, gifts of healing, okay, helps, governments, amen, diversity of tongues. If you ask me, why would God put governments lastly before tongues? The apostle and prophets are part of the governmental order. That's because they represent the government themselves. Watch this. Without Barack Obama, without the president or the Senate, you have no government. You have a lawless land. There are only two people in the body of Christ that can ordain. Listen to me. Don't you dare hang up. Listen to me, and I want you to hear me good. I want to wear out your flesh tonight. There are only two people in the body of Christ that can ordain. You may say, prophet, what scriptural authority gives you the right to make such a remark? Easy. Ephesians chapter 2 says that he built this thing on the foundation. So the foundation of the church is built upon the apostles and the prophets. It's not built upon the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. It's not built upon the bishops and the deacons. It's not elders or the ministers. Are you listening? It's not built upon that. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. You know why the scriptures say he's the chief cornerstone? Because on the apostolic and prophetic foundation, he backs us both up. He backs the apostles up, and he backs the prophets up. And see, people know that. That's why they don't want to become evangelists. That's why we have evangelists hiding out in the church. And they say, well, what's your name? My name is Prophetess. My name is Prophet. But really, you're an evangelist. Why are you scared to be who God called you to be? And then you have the nerve to say, well, God has elevated me to the prophet, or an apostle, but the last time I checked, amen, God does not have a decision-making problem, amen. God is not a buffoon, amen. God, amen,
purposed our life and he predestinated our life. And so if God predestinated our life, that means before the foundation of the world, God had a plan for what the gifting that he was put in you, which was developed into an office that he put around you, and which developed into a mantle that he put on you. My God is thundering outside. God's talking. My God, I'm excited. Daddy's talking while I'm preaching. Ain't that something? So watch this. There are only two, write this in your notebook. There are only two people, two authorities that can ordain in the body of Christ. The bishop, you listen good, bishop. The bishop cannot ordain without the apostle. Because guess what? It takes an apostle to ordain a bishop. We have bishops that are not apostles, but we have apostles that are bishops. Listen good. We have bishops that are not apostles, but we have we have apostles that are bishops. Matter of fact, every true apostle is a bishop. Because according to Acts chapter 1, when Judas fell, they said, who will take over his bishopric? Who will take over his bishopric? That's in Acts chapter 1. Write it down in your notes. You're going to learn scripture tonight. What's the sense of being a prophet if I don't know scripture? Being a prophet does not mean you say what you want to say out of your mouth, but you don't have scriptural authority to back you up. When Elijah spoke, he spoke because he knew, amen, his limitations in God. He knew what the Torah said. He knew his authority in God. So when you know your authority in God, God will back you when you say something. But if you say it according to his will, when you know the will of God for your life, then God will begin to back you when you say things. Are you listening? Elijah said, he said, before the Lord God who I stand before, it shall not rain. I was talking to the seer earlier, amen, and we was talking about that Elijah didn't even pray when he said it ain't gonna rain. He didn't even pray because he knew his limitations in God. He knew what God would back him on and what God would not back him on. See, the things that you don't know, see, the things that God will back you on is the things that you go pray about. Are you listening? How are you a prophet and somebody asked you a question. I got to go and pray about that. Whoa. See, that lets me know your spiritual ranking. Because, true senior seasoned prophets, we can give you an answer real quick. Nah, I don't think so. We'll give you an answer real quick. Oh, no, I don't think so. No, that ain't going to work. Uh-uh. But if we happen to have to go and pray about it, that's because we don't want to frustrate the grace of God that he's placed on our lives. So if I got to go pray about something, that means, yeah, I'm graced to do a thing, but I want to make sure I don't frustrate the grace of God. This is what Paul taught in the book of Galatians. I'm in eagle language in the chapter called Proper Etiquette of the Prophetic. So there are only two who can ordain. I want you to get this in your head, okay? That's why if a pastor is about to ordain somebody, amen, he got to have the apostle or the prophet there. Because those are the authority of the foundation. You got to have one or the other, or you got to have both. Hallelujah. You got to have both. If the pastor is an evangelist, whatever the case may be, if it's just a bishop who's operating, now watch this, the bishop can ordain if he has apostolic authority. If the apostle has consecrated him and given him authority to ordain, then he can do it. Let's go to the book of Titus. We ain't going to play with you tonight. We're going to give you a scripture. We're going to go to the book of Titus. And the book of Titus is going to tell you how this thing should go. Watch this. Book of Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 verse 5 says, I'll give you a time to check up, to catch up, amen. Titus chapter 1 verse 5, it says, for this cause, this is Paul talking, for this cause, matter of fact, let's go to verse 4, Titus 1, 4 first. To Titus, my own son after the common faith, he's talking to a spiritual son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause lest I increase, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting. So the apostle is giving orders to Titus. So that's apostolic authority telling him that he should set things in order that are wanting. He said, if you go to this place, Titus, and you find anything that's out of order, you have apostolic authority to put it in order. So you have apostolic authority to govern in my absence. Though I'm not there in the physical or the natural, but you have the authority in the spiritual realm to make it manifest in the natural because I'm giving you the authority. See, this is why Jesus sent his apostles out two by two. And he gave them authority. The authority that he gave them allowed them to do the supernatural work of healing, creative miracles, signs and wonders. They was able to do those things, amen, not because they were some great ones, but they came from an apostolic lineage. Because they came through the lineage of their father, apostolic and prophetic. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. He said, set in order the things that are wanting. Verse 5, Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. Hold it. Elders and bishops, watch this. Elders and bishops basically the same thing. Okay? But the problem is in the body of Christ, we have people that thinking that we're playing chess. This is not chess, baby. This is the body of Christ. This is the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Paul says, set in order things and ordain elders in every city. So that's what they went forth and ordained elders and bishops in every city. And that was by apostolic authority. And we know that Paul always traveled with a prophet. Barnabas was a prophet. Silas was a prophet. He always traveled with a prophet. Why? Because if you're going to build ministry, you have to do it by apostolic and prophetic order. Are you listening to me? If you're going to do a real kingdom work in this end time, you have got to utilize apostolic prophetic authority. So your leader has got to have an apostolic prophetic grace on their life. Or they have to be connected to an apostolic or prophetic grace. Are you listening? Why? Because if not, it's going to be only one dimensional that you operate in. Are you listening? Okay. We're talking about the proper etiquette of prophetic. Because if you don't know the word of God as a prophet, then how in the world are you going to release a word? You have to be intimate with the word of God in order to release the word of God. See, guess what? When a man is intimate with his wife, there's a release that happens because of intimacy. And so because I'm intimate with the word of God, when I'm intimate with the word of God, it's going to cause me to what? Release. Are you listening? Are you listening? Watch this. So the apostles are the authority. The sent ones to govern the church. Now, we know Jesus had the 12. The first original, watch this. The first 12 apostles, they are known in the book of Revelations when they did the walls of the New Jerusalem. They are inscribed. Their title is called the Apostles of the Lamb. The Apostles of the Lamb. They are called the Apostles of the Lamb because they walk with the Lamb. John says, behold the Lamb of God. When he walked, he saw walk, he said, behold the Lamb of God. So the apostles was walking with the Lamb of God. The Lamb got slain on Calvary. So whoever was walking with him at his first advent was called the apostles of the Lamb. Okay? Not only they were called the apostles of the Lamb because they walked with the Lamb, but because they partake of the Lamb. They ate the Lamb. They handled him. Peter said in the book of Peter, he said, man, we handled him. In other words, we grasped him. We held him. He said, we handled him. Are you listening? Jesus had the original 12, the apostles of the Lamb. Every other apostle came after the cross. Every other apostle came after the cross. So, the apostles that came after the cross, these ones were ones that were taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, guess what? Peter had the opportunity to experience both transitions of apostolic and prophetic order. Ooh, this thing is good. My God. He had a chance to experience both apostolic and prophetic transitions. What he experienced was this. He walked with the Lamb, and then when Jesus resurrected and went on to the Father, he had a chance to receive him in a new way. He had a chance to receive him through the revelatory teaching, through the revelatory knowledge, through the revelatory prophetic teaching. Are you listening? Watch this. Watch this. See, guess what? Jesus did not teach them prophetically when he was walking as the Lamb. He had to speak to them. Watch this. He had to speak to them and really teach them. He had to teach them as a master to a student. That was not prophetic. It's only prophetic teaching when you have prophetic students able to receive what you get it. Are you listening? Prophetic teachings don't benefit people who don't have the Holy Ghost. Prophetic teaching will only benefit those who have the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? It will only benefit those, watch this, who have the receiver. Your Dish TV or your Direct TV will do you no good if you don't have a receiver. You got to have two components, the receiver and the satellite. A satellite to catch the signal and the receiver to receive that signal and to display it on the television. Are you listening? Watch this. The apostles are the authority sent to govern the church. We talk about the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Before the apostles came, the prophets, they ordained kings and they ordained other prophets. Are you listening? Okay, watch this. Now, the apostles are the governors of the church, all right? They are the governors, okay? Now, a picture of them in the Old Testament is sort of like the kings. The kings were sent to govern Israel, okay? Every king needed a prophet. Are you listening? David was a prophet, but when he became king, now Nathan. When Saul was in power, he had David. Are you listening? Are you listening? All the kings of Israel had seers, okay? Those who could see, okay? Had scribes. Israel was a priestly prophet, but he was also a scribe. Jeremiah was also a prophet, but was also a scribe who was anointed to write. Watch this. Watch this. So the prophets ordained kings. Okay? They ordained other prophets. Jesus didn't originally come as an apostle. Watch this. I want to stretch your theology. Jesus did not originally, at the first advent, come as an apostle. He didn't manifest his full glory. When he showed Peter on the transfiguration in the book of Matthew, on the transfiguration mountain, when he showed him the glory of being transfigurated, when he shined like the sun, he was showing him the glory of apostolic and prophetic order. But he could not reveal the whole essence of the glory. Are you understanding me? He could not show him and demonstrate him the full essence of the glory. Okay? Jesus didn't come as an apostle. He had to come as a prophet first. Why? Why? Because that was the order that the Father set. Well, prophet, where you get that from? It's right there in your Bible. Where that prophet? Well, simply in the Gospels. Well, who appeared on the Transfiguration? Did any apostles appear? No, the apostles that he ordained was watching. Who appeared on the mountain with him? Moses and Elijah. All right? Moses and Elijah. Two different types of prophets. Two different type of prophets. You see? Watch this. One prophet, Moses represents the glory. Elijah represents the supernatural. Another prophet, Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. The way that Moses trained Joshua is not the way that Elijah trained Elisha. Are you listening? every prophet, and those who are prophets on here, I want to teach you something. And those who are attempting to do school of the prophets, I want to show you something. You can give prophets information. I can have 12 of my prophets right here in front of me. I can tell them, many of them that are listening to this teaching tonight, they can listen to it, but each of them are going to receive it in a different way. They're going to apply it a different way. It's going to fuel them, it's going to fuel their prophetic a different way. Okay? Prophets, watch this. Prophets have, they receive a different way. The word hits them and impacts them in a different way. If I had Moses, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Hosea, Amos, if I had Samuel, if I had Habakkuk, if I had Daniel, if I had all these prophets here, and I was teaching them, if God gave me that honor, if I was teaching them, each of them will receive it in a different way. Ezekiel, as a seer type prophet, he would take the word and he would bring it in a different way through the realm of him seeing. He would probably say, well, I see it like this. Okay? He would receive it probably in a vision. If the word would come and he would get like a visionary weird revelation of it. Okay? 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 Those who are seers, watch this. Those who are seers, they have the capability to be great entrepreneurs. Why? Because in order to be a visionary, you have to have a dimension of seeing ability. Watch this. Those who are great songwriters are actually prophetic people. Why? Because they have to channel it from the spiritual realm and manifest it in natural by their scribing. Are you listening? Watch this. Watch this. He came as a prophet, Jesus. He was a prophet that ordained apostles. Jesus came as a prophet, and he ordained 12 apostles. Oh, God. My God, it thundered again. My God, the Father backeth me. Watch this. If you tell Bishop that, he'll put you out the church. If you tell apostle that, he'll put you out the church. Okay? But Jesus came as a prophet fulfilling the prophecy of the book of Deuteronomy. He had to come as a prophet. Okay? The woman at the well said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. It was something that Jesus said that he didn't, watch this. If you notice in the story of John chapter 4, Jesus never told her he was a prophet. Never even mention of it. See, when you see the thing that Jesus is trying to teach you, when you know that you're a prophet or a prophetess, you ain't really got to tell nobody. Because my Bible tells me your gift will make room for you and bring you before great and mighty men. Amen. Now, I'm talking to those who may feel like they've been slighted in ministry, those who may feel like they've been misunderstood in ministry. Amen. When there comes, there's a certain dimension where you get at that you're going to have to tell somebody who you are. That's not good to deny who you are, because if you deny who you are, you're not going to manifest who you are. If you deny what you are, you're not going to manifest what you be. If you deny what you where you've been in the realm, then you're not going to manifest who you be. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Take your notes. Tell your neighbor, sidebar. Okay? Jesus came as a prophet. Now watch this. When he resurrected, that's when he became the chief apostle. He could not send forth apostles like Paul until he first died and resurrected. Okay? Because now when he resurrected, he instead of the Father sending the revelation, he sends the Holy Ghost to give us the revelation. My God. Are you listening? See, before he resurrected, Jesus could not send the Holy Ghost to give you a revelation. It was the Father. See, that's why he told Simon Peter. He said in Matthew chapter 16, he said, who do you say that I am? And he knew that the only person who could reveal that to him was the Father. He said, oh, thou Simon Peter, he said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. So nobody could reveal the nature and the essence of who Jesus really was but the Father. Nobody but the Father could reveal that to Jesus. Hallelujah. To Simon Peter. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Watch this. So when he resurrected, now he's the chief apostle. You cannot be a chief apostle if you're not begetting other apostles. Somebody out there said, well, prophet. Well, real apostles and prophets are not, watch this, real apostles and real prophets are, God ordained them. And so I don't really need man. Oh, booger, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Let me tell you something. Don't fall into that folly, because I fell for that folly, amen, when I was real young in the spirit, hallelujah. Thank God for deliverance. Hallelujah. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to keep it going. Amen. And it's a message that I got coming forth called The Importance of Being Announced. Okay? Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. I'm trying not to go into my Sunday message. Watch this. Pastors and evangelists cannot ordain without apostolic or prophetic authority. So if my leader is an evangelist, if my leader was an evangelist, I'm talking about, when I say my, I'm talking about you. If your leader was an evangelist, if you're sitting up underneath an evangelist, there is only so far that evangelist can take you until whoever their leader is, expand them spiritually, and elevate them. So the evangelist will have to become what? Well, we have to become a bishop. You say, well, can the evangelist become a prophet? No, don't work like that. Y'all just making up stuff as y'all go along these days. It don't work like that. An evangelist can become a bishop or an elder or a deacon. Why? Because that's an administrative. Guess what? See, guess what? A lot of people won't be bishops, but I'm here to tell you something. You don't have to be anointed to be qualified for a bishop. You can just desire a gift. You can just meet the qualifications of that office of a bishop or an elder or a deacon. If you meet the qualifications, baby, you can go into that office. And guess what? You don't even have to be anointed. You notice that the qualifications of a bishop, it has nothing to do with the anointing, but everything to do with your character. It has nothing to do with the anointing, but it has everything to do with your character. Okay? Watch this. Watch this. I talked about another dimension of the apostolic apostleship is the bishopric. And that scripture was in Acts 1:20. Every apostle has the dimension of the bishopric. Some minor in it, some major in it. But nevertheless, an apostle has the bishopric, every true apostle. An elder is the same as an overseer. They are underneath a bishop, okay? They're basically the same. So that's why you see in certain denominations, they may go from being an elder to a bishop. Or they may go from being a pastor to a bishop. Or you may have a prophet that is inserted through the office of a pastor, like myself, then may go on and become a bishop, okay? Like Bernard Jordan. Bernard Jordan went from prophet, then became prophet bishop. Now in his denomination is archbishop, okay? See, that's how that works. He's a prophet that stepped into the office of a bishop, okay? Because he oversees other churches. And guess what? He's a prophetic father. Okay? Are you listening? And it's according to your denomination, too. Okay? Watch this. Watch this. We talked about, watch this. I want to stress this. I want to stress this. If the prophet or apostle appoints you to such work, you can do it. Now, this is the problem that we're having in the body of Christ. A person will go and put a title on themselves, and they feel like, well, I have the authority to do this and do that and do this. No, you don't. Because if you have the authority, you should be manifesting the authority in the form of wisdom. God will never give you authority He will never give you authority without the wisdom to handle it. Are you listening? God will never give you the authority without the wisdom to handle it. You may say, well, wait a minute, prophet. I don't see people in the Bible who did some stuff and stuff. Well, look at David and David and Bathsheba. David had authority and stuff like that. I'm talking about the authority. Guess what? God gives you that type of authority. Even if you mess up, God will bring you back. God will bring you back. Look at Jonah. God gave Jonah authority. Guess what? He said, I ain't going to do it. I don't want to do it. Forget you, God. I'm gone. But at the end of the day, we see how the story turned out. God still had his way. Watch this. Watch this. I wanna teach you something else. Let me look at the time. I want to see how much time I got left. I want to teach this thing. Get your notebooks, people of God. The prophets are the wind of God. They are the voice of God. So when I was telling you, watch this, apostles are sent ones. Prophets are spontaneous ones. Okay? Apostles are right hand authority. Prophets are the left hand, spontaneous. When you're in a boxing match, you in the ring, most anticipate you to come with the right. But if you come with the left, it's like very unorthodox style. You can train for the right hand, but it's very difficult to train for the left. Most fighters train to fight right-handers. Are you listening? Watch this. They call it southpaw. Okay? Southpaw. Watch this. The prophets are the wind of God. John chapter 3, it says that the wind, it says when you're a person that is born of the Spirit, they go by the leading of the Spirit. See? Prophets are ones that are born by the Spirit. So they move by the Spirit. Okay, a prophet may, guess what? A prophet may not have, guess what? You may be a prophet or a prophetess. You may not have no money. And God says, I want you to go to the store. He said, guess what? Your natural mind says, somebody else might say, well, why are you going to go to the store? You ain't got no money. But a prophet said, well, God told me to go to the store. I don't know why. I just got to do it. Watch this. Somebody may say, well, I don't know why you go to the store anyway. That's stupid. Because why are you going to go to the store? You ain't got no money. But then you find out obeying God, you met somebody there that liked the shirt you got on, and said, oh, that's a nice shirt. Y'all start talking, then all of a sudden they said, hey, I want to buy you an outfit. You say, you want to do what? I want to buy you an outfit. I just like you. I just feel like to buy you an outfit. Now, guess what? You wouldn't have got that outfit unless you listen to God and it'll be in his voice, being led by the Spirit. It's just like that with those, when you are born by the Spirit, you're going to be led by the Spirit. I was born because I had a mother and a father, okay, that got together, right? And then I was born. So now watch this. When I was born, they was given the authority. As my parent, they was given the authority to lead me. When you're born by the Spirit, you, watch this, you are born by the Spirit. Now the Spirit, you won't follow the leading of that Spirit just like you follow the leading of your natural parents. Are you listening? Watch this. Prophets are the voice of God. Prophets birth or bring forth prophets. We're talking about seasoned, mature prophets. Okay? Seasoned, mature prophets. The most hardest thing for a prophet to do, and it's very difficult, When you step into the pastoral, now when God puts, now you're a prophet and you get inserted in the office of pastoral, not the mantle of the pastor, because that would be a conflict of scripture. Okay? Let me help some people out there. That's why you see apostles that have church, they say, well, I'm the pastor of this church. Well, wait a minute, you just told me you're apostle such and such. yeah, I am apostle such and such, but I'm the pastor of this church. What he's really trying to say is, I'm the apostle, but I'm in the office of a pastor. So I'm the pastor of this church. Are you understanding me? In other words, he says that I have the authority to govern the sheep. Okay? To shepherd the sheep. Are you listening? Watch this. Apostles can only commission a prophet or prophetess for a particular work. All right? If a prophet or prophetess is not under another prophet, then they need to submit themselves to one. Watch this. If you don't ever want to submit underneath a prophet, baby, that ain't going to change you being a prophet or prophetess, but you will be lacking some major things in your mantle. You'll have dimensions in your, watch this, you have dimensions in your gift that will never come forth and it cause you to develop into a mantle. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So those prophets who are just content, I can prophesy. Well, baby, if you just submit yourself to another prophet, now God may give you the ability to lay hands on the sick and recover. Okay? Raise the dead. Okay? Usher in the glory. Wait, some of you say, well, I can usher in the glory. I'm not talking about making a whole bunch of noise. Okay? I'm talking about the glory. I'm talking about you don't touch nobody and they already crying and laid out. Okay? Okay? Okay, we got videos, amen, on you. We got videos that show people, amen, I didn't even touch them. They was puking up. I'm talking about puking up. Puking up. Just by the prophetic word. Okay, we got videos. So watch this. An apostle can only commission a prophet or prophetess for a particular work. So if you're underneath an apostle, that apostle can put you in the office of a prophet. But you can only have the mantle by submitting under a prophet. You can only get the mantle by being underneath a prophet. Apostles can license you, they can ordain you, they can even lay hands on you and start the gift. Okay? Now there's a prophetic that they flow in, they can release that into your life. But the mantle, you cannot get that from the apostle. You can only get that from the prophet. Well, what scripture you got for that? Paul said in Corinthians, he said, the spirit of the prophet must be submitted to the prophet. It didn't say the spirit of the apostle. Wait a minute, prophet. It didn't say the spirit of the pastor. It didn't say the spirit of the evangelist. It said the spirit of the prophet. It didn't say a prophet. It said the prophet. You need the prophet. That's just any random. You need the prophet. Amen? Watch this. So you need to submit yourself to one. Every prophetic voice needs mentoring. I'm in chapter 6 of Proper Etiquette of the Prophetic. If you want this book that I'm teaching, I'm teaching out of this book, amen, and I'm breaking it down for you so you can get it. I'm in Eagle Language, chapter 6, Proper Etiquette of the Prophetic. If you want this book, amen, and you're on the line tonight, go to shofarsofglory.org. Order your book fast. And for those who have already ordered their books, amen, the factory is printing them up now as we speak, amen. So if you have not got your book now, amen, hold on, it's on the way, amen. It seems like we can't keep the books and we can't even keep them. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Now watch this. So make sure you go to showfathersofglory.org and get your book. Now, every prophetic voice needs mentoring. Do not get caught up in the fact that you got a gift. Are you listening? Do not get caught up in the fact that you got a gift. Do not get caught up in the fact that you got the ability to prophesy, because that does not make a prophet. That does not make a prophet. You can prophesy, but that don't make you a prophet, because, see, prophets do the prophetic work. Watch this. Nehemiah was a prophet who did a prophetic work. Nehemiah did not prophesy. in that book, in that particular section, in that story. Nehemiah, he let his work prophesy. Faith without works is dead. Nehemiah did a prophetic work. The wall was torn out. Nehemiah, he prophesied to himself and did that work. Are you listening? See, being a prophet, you have to have the ability to repair the breach. Oh, God, I'm getting in my message. Lord have mercy. Somebody pulling on this boy. Watch this. Watch this. Can you do a prophetic work? That's what it means to repair the breach. Because if you are sent to a ministry as a prophet, see, guess what? This is what separates the mature prophet, the seasoned prophet. This is what separates the master prophet from the novice prophet. Can you go to a taught ministry and rebuild it? Can you help the apostle rebuild it? Can you do it? Can you go to the pastor who has nothing but three members left and God sent you there and says, I want you to sit down there for about a year? Can you do it? Because you got to repair the breach. Because you got to build a wall back up. Because the wall was torn down because people got off the wall because they didn't want to pray no more. Are you listening? See, this is what's called the prophetic work. This is what's called the prophetic work. We got people that don't want to work. Okay? Okay? Watch this. So there's people that get impartations from empty vessels. Oh, God. We got people that get impartations from empty vessels. Because they don't have the spirit of the prophet, so now when the impartation comes, they're not getting the spirit of the prophet, but they're getting a lot of soulish stuff. See, watch this. When the spirit of the prophet is not in that person, watch this. If you have the spirit of the prophet, you have a mantle. When you don't have a mantle, now when you do an impartation, all you get is a bunch of soulish stuff. You get a bunch of download of information. But no impartation that will produce a revelation. But you get an impartation that will produce information. It won't quicken. It won't quicken. Are you listening? Watch this. See, some of you, you submit to a prophet or a leader, and so the first time you see them mess up. You're gone. And I always tell this, write this down in your notebook. My sons and daughters have heard me say this before, this part right here. You don't want to be a Frankenstein in the spirit. You got this daddy head. You got this mama leg. You got this daddy arm. You got this daddy eyes. Are you listening? Don't be a Frankenstein in the spirit. Okay. You need prophetic mentoring. Why? Because you can release things before time without wisdom. So when you're a novice prophet, you don't know how to apply the timing to what has been downloaded from heaven. When you're a novice prophet, the first thing you receive, it's like a baby putting food in their mouth and then they what? Spit it right out. Why they do that? They don't have no wisdom. Why they do that? They're not old enough. Why they do that? Because they don't know no better. And that's what an office prophet does. Tell them they get something from God. Brother the Lord told me. Now you're in the middle of service. Watch this. The teacher is teaching. They're in the corner somewhere prophesying somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, you out of order. Tell them, let's get it right. Amen? Let's get it right. Watch this. You can release things before time without wisdom. Watch this. So now watch this. What happens is this. The difference between the senior prophet and the novice prophet is this. The novice prophet said, oh, God told me this, God told me that. When the fact of the matter is the master prophet knows this, that what you're hearing is what God said last year and you're just getting a report now. Oh, God. But what I'm hearing now is what God's saying right now. But what you're hearing right now is something God said last year. See, you got a two is right now. That's why the Bible says that him that has ears, hear what the Spirit say to the church. Because do you have now ears? Do you have past ears? Or do you have ears in the now? Are your ears in the now? Oh, God. My God. Are your ears in the now? Because a true prophet, he can go back into your past. He can go from the now, go back in your past, bring you back to the now, and then shift you to your destiny. Oh, God. Shift you into your future. Are you listening? Watch this. We're going to go a little bit more, and then we're going to close. I think I'm going to close on this last point right here on page 76. John 3:8 says, "The wind blow where it listed. Now here's the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it come." You hear it, but you don't know where it come from. And then you don't know where it go. So is everyone born of the Spirit. So when a person that's born of the Spirit, so when a prophet that's born by the Spirit talks, and they say something, you'll be like, huh? Especially if you don't really know, you learn it. Prophets say something, you're going to be like, huh? No, that ain't God. No. You might say, prophet, where you get that from? What I just read, John chapter 3, verse 8. The wind blow where it listed. You hear the sound, so a person talking to you, you hear the sound. This is the person that's talking to you that's born of the Spirit. You hear the sound, but you can't tell where it come. Then you can't even tell where it go. So during the conversation, it's like you don't know. It sounds like they don't know where they're coming or going. But really, it's not them. You just don't understand the communications of the Spirit. Oh, God, watch this. It is difficult for a prophet to make plans. Uh-oh. Some people just shouted right there. It is difficult for a prophet to make plans. You ever try to make plans with a prophet? It is difficult to make a plan with a prophet. Things are always subject to change. You ever did something with a prophet, and the prophet come back and tell you, we can't do that again. You're like, why? Why? What was supposed to happen? We just can't do it again. Well, I don't understand. You got to tell me something. Just God shifted me. You know the saying? Just God shifted me in another direction. And you think the prophet trying to be just out of their mind. You think the prophetess is trying to be out of her mind. No. When you're born of the Spirit, you're led by the Spirit. Because guess what? Well, the Spirit ain't going to tell you to do that, oh, boo-boo. It's the same Spirit that carried Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted of a devil. Don't tell me where the Spirit ain't going to lead you. Don't tell me the Spirit ain't going to lead you. But ain't no God in that. I don't see how God would never do nothing like, oh, really? Really? Let me tell you something. When it comes to your purpose, when it comes to your destiny, when it comes to the original intent of God that God has in life, he'll do whatever he needs to do to maximize you. He'll put you in a position to maximize you. Because the more you trust God by faith, the more he's maximizing you. Look at your neighbor and say, maximize potential. The Spirit of God can come and interrupt at any given time and interrupt any plan that you previously had. We have a problem in the prophetic today. My last scripture is this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all miracles? Watch this. Paul prophesied to you before 2016. He saw this. That everybody won't be apostles and prophets. All apostles? That's what was going on in Corinthians. You got people trying to do Paul's job, trying to do Barnabas' job, trying to do Peter's job. So they're arguing about who in the baptism. Well, Paul baptized me. Well, Peter baptized me. Okay? They had a split going on. Hallelujah. Watch this. Why does everybody want to be an apostle? Why does everybody want to be a prophet? See? Take me way out there. All right? Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you, God, for your power, dunamis upon high. We thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for the dunamis. We ask, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, everybody at the sound of my voice, Lord God, who has received your eagle language. We ask, God, that you cause a shift right now. We ask that you cause, Lord God, a fire to be released right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that you bring up the fallen ground. We ask, Lord God, for supernatural activation, Lord God. That, Lord God, that your prophets, that your apostolic prophetic people, that your apostles, your prophets, your evangelist teachers, your bishops, your deacons, your elders, God, your ministers of the gospel, your fivefold ministers, we will come to a realization of who you are. We will come to the realization of being in full expectation, Lord God, for a greater outpouring of the Spirit, Lord God, in our vessels, in our vessels right now in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, we lift you up that you may draw all men, God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Yeshua, HaMashiach. In the name of Yahuwah, in the name of Yahushua. Abashate Boko Rosata. We lift you up, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it saturate you right now. Come on, people of God, come on. Now watch it. Don't be a junkie now. Don't get off the call now. Hallelujah. Receive it. Receive it. Receive yours tonight. Receive yours tonight. Receive yours. In the name of Jesus. Say, God, I receive the word. Say, God, change my language. Say, God, I need that eagle language. I'm tired of running with pigeons. I'm tired of clucking with chickens. When I answer my phone, God, I see this person, they're a chicken, God. They're trying to draw me into gossiping, backbiting, all that stuff. I don't have time for that, God, because I'm an eagle. And real eagles do real eagle things. So, God, I receive your eagle language, God. Transform my understanding. Transform my mouth. Transform my ears. My ears need to be circumcised. And my tongue, God, will obey the law of truth. My tongue, God, will obey the law of kindness. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all lift up the name of Jesus. If you're on Blog Talk Radio, my God, 347-945-5416. That is 347-945-5416. Thank you, Holy Ghost. If you are on the line right now, you may press 1. If you want to step in there, if you have any questions concerning the prophetic, amen, we come straight from the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you have questions concerning the prophetic in the name of Jesus Christ or any other questions, you may press 1 right now. We have a few more minutes, amen, before we go off the air, so you may get your questions in now. Go ahead and press 1, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. Who wants to step in the prophetic arena? Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. You may press 1 for those who are on the phone line. In the name of Jesus Christ, I think we have 1. Amen. 240, you are live, amen, on the Lamb of God. Eagle language.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Sister Rochelle, I'm calling because I have a matter that I feel like is troubling. I know you're dealing with the prophetic, but this is the situation where it's prophetic discernment regarding the matter. I've been informed that my niece basically it may have to come into custody with me and maybe her paternal grandmothers, and so we met today. Things of that nature. I really need God to help me with this matter because my niece, she's kind of like quite troubled. And I know that the enemy has been trying to derail me in a lot of ways as far as ministry is concerned. I do love my niece. I do help out with her and everything. But I really need to hear from God and God alone whether this is something that he would have me to take on or is a major distraction, because I'm around nothing but distractions right now dealing with my family. And I need, repairs done to my home in which the insurance company is dragging their feet. So I love my niece. I'm willing to help her. However, she comes from quite a chaotic background, and I really, really need God to help me because it's just like a spirit that my niece has, even at the young age of 9, and it's like I cannot have that spirit to bring me down. I'm all about uplifting her and showing her the word of God, but she just has such a following in her family, and I just cannot, just be derailed, even though I'm trying to do a good thing, because there's a scripture that says there's a thing that seems right, but the end leads to destruction. But I love my niece. I want to help her, but I just really need prophetic discernment in regards to which way to go with this.
Watch this. It's funny because go to Second Kings, I'm gonna give you a scripture to apply to your situation. Watch this. Okay. Watch this. The story of the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, it said something very peculiar. That when he was talking to Gehazi, his servant, he called the Shunammite woman, and when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all of this care. What is to be done for thee? Would it thou be spoken to the king or captain of the host? She answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she had no child, and her husband is old. He said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood where? Are you reading your Bible? Are you reading with me?
Okay. I didn't hear what you said, sir. I apologize.
Sister, I'm trying to help you. Listen, 2 Kings okay. chapter 4, verse 15.
Okay.
2 Kings chapter 4, verse 15. I will give you a small thing. I'm going to tell you this. The Shunammite woman, she didn't come in the room where, watch this, she didn't come in the room where Elijah was. Okay, she stood at the door. In verse 15, she stood at the door because she didn't come into his room because she stood at the door. One thing we teach, whether it be in marriage and even as a prophet, amen, you cannot never allow nobody in your bedroom where you dwell at, especially if you're a married couple. Amen, because your spirit dwells there. That's your holies of holies. And even as a prophetic vessel, you got distractions coming from your family. And now watch this. Now to put on top of it, now a situation with your niece. Let me tell you something. That ain't God there. See, guess
it's
what?
Not.
It's not God right there. That's not God. Okay? We have to stop putting emphasis on blood is thicker than water. What really is, the spirit of God is thicker than any blood. Now watch this. Jesus had brothers and sisters. Guess what? They didn't want to serve God. They didn't want to seek God like Jesus. So Jesus went about, when they came and asked Jesus, they said, your mother and brother are seeking for you. He looked among the people that was in the word with him, that was fellowshipping with him. He said, nah. The ones who do the will of my Father are my what? Come on. Are you there?
Chapter 15.
Jesus told them who was at the feast, he says, the ones who do the will of my Father are my what?
People.
They are my mother, father, sister, and brother. So you got to ask yourself, is your sister, is your niece doing the will?
Even though she's not.
Okay, then guess what? If you're prophetic, that's a problem. That's a problem for you. Listen, one thing prophets of God know, you can't have nobody staying with us. Guess what?
I can hear you.
Can't
what was that?
I said prophets of God and prophetesses, one thing that we know is this. You can't have nobody staying with you who is not
okay.
your spouse. It would be a conflict of interest. I'm talking about if you got a major mantle on your life, that's a hindrance. That's a hindrance. God would never send, watch this. He will never send somebody who will hinder you in pursuit of him unless there's something he wants to teach you. Now, if you feel there's a lesson that you need to learn that you haven't learned yet, then by all means, go for it. But He will not put you in a position that you can possibly lose your mind or cuss somebody out or get into an argument. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, all things work together for the good of them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. But that right there is a setup for the enemy. That's what I hear. I hear setup. Setup for the enemy.
Okay.
Are you listening?
Okay,
that's
I hear.
A setup.
I receive.
That is a setup right there. Because you already you have to look at the patterns of the enemy. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? You are already being distracted on one side with your family where you stay at. Okay, you say where you stay. You stay with your family?
Temporarily, while I'm getting this insurance company to honor, these coverages for my home, yes. And it's like they're dragging their feet And I'm like, my God, I mean, how long is this going to be? Because I really want to be, I have my own home, but it's this insurance company, a drag in their feet as they do. And I just want to get back even at my home, or they put me in another place where I can seek God in peace and quietness and that type of thing. So I have this thing dealing with my niece. You know, I love her and everything, and I'm not trying to be harsh or anything, but, you know, she, you know, has, you know, issues. I mean, she carries luggage at the age of 9. You know, some people say, well, that's kind of harsh to say, but I got to address it for what it is.
Okay, well, first thing you need to do is you need to change your confession. Because I heard you just said, you said the insurance company drag their feet like they always do. Now, wait a minute. You need to change that part right there, because guess what? If you can change that part right there, you might find that the heavens may open up to you.
Well, I
I'm saying, we know the Bible said life and death is in the power of the tongue. And if you're a prophetic vessel, you can't say things like that. So if you're waiting on the insurance company, you're just canceling out the insurance company while you're still waiting on the insurance company.
But
you
God
understand what I'm
me.
Saying? So, but I'm saying, these are little things that you have to, you know, adjust in your life. Because this is what I see as I prophesy to you, as I release the word of knowledge to you. That I see that when things don't go a certain way for you, you get real upset. I'm talking about really upset, and I'm putting that mildly. I'm putting that very mildly. It's like when you get upset, it's like you get so extremely frustrated. I'm talking about you can get to the point where you'll black out.
What I do, if anything, I lay on the floor and cry out to God and call on him and ask him to help me. And change the hearts of the insurance people, forgive them for they know that what they do, and let his power and his kingdom prevail and his will be done.
So when you get upset at your family, how do you handle it?
Oh, now that's a different thing. Yes, I can, but I don't black out. I use some choice words, which I ask God to forgive me for, and I'm just being honest.
Okay, now watch this. When I say black out, what do you think I mean when I say black out?
Like pass out, black out from anger.
No. I'm talking about, when I say blackout, I'm talking about really upset.
Upset.
See, when I say blackout, watch this. I just taught tonight that says, in John, that says, those who are born of the Spirit, they blow where they listen. So it may seem when they're saying certain things, like, what is he talking about? What is he saying? What is he saying? Okay, I just taught on that tonight. When I say blackout, you thought I said, okay, you think I'm, you know, that I'm getting mad that I just pass out. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, talking about blackout, talking about really upset.
Yeah.
How do you handle it with your? So how do you handle that situation with your family? We're gonna go back to that.
I really get upset and I call on God and just cry out to Him and I beg Him for help and mercy as I constantly do.
Now, what does your family do to you to make you get upset with them?
Oh well, it's constant. Aggravation. If I want to spend time with the Lord, or if I want to spend time in prayer, and you know, there's constant, you know, what are you doing? It's like, you know,
okay.
You're watching me every 5-10 minutes. What am I doing?
Or trying to distract it. Okay, I got a word for you because the Lord is preparing you to take you somewhere in ministry. He's preparing your ministry. Okay, and I hear the Spirit of the Lord said that if you can get through this. If you can get through this, you'll be well prepared for ministry. But guess what? All these distractions are going on because guess what? You get in ministry, guess what? Things like that going to happen. You have to deal with a lot of people's stuff. You're going to have to deal with people all around. So if you can see all of it, my God. See, this right here is just training for you. My God. This right here is just training. See, guess what? The more you murmur, complain when this is going on, the longer it's going to be. Oh, God. See, if you change your approach to this, you'll change your results from this. Speak, Holy Ghost. If you change your approach to this, you'll change your results from this. You need to write that down.
Okay.
Change your approach to this. When your family says stuff to you, change your approach to it. Okay? Because guess what? If you don't change your approach to it, it's going to continue to do what? It's going to continue to give that situation power over you. Okay?
So
and that's what
you're
doing. When you are you listening? What you saying?
No, I was listening to what you're saying, but also I was just being clear that what you're saying as far as my niece, you said that would that you said you, the Lord is telling you that's not of God. That's a distraction, correct?
That is a distraction. Yes, it is. And somebody okay. might say, "Well, prophet, well, you know, how can you say that about her knees?" I ain't said that. Hallelujah. Listen, is a distraction. It is a distraction. We're talking about the same God that when kids were making fun of Elisha. I'm talking about Elisha the prophet called out bears. I'm talking about called out bears and they killed the kids. It's the same. Listen. When, if God has got an assignment and a mandate on your life, there's certain things God ain't going to allow, especially when you come from enough already.
Yes.
My Lord. Because, listen, you want a long time. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go take the next call. And those who wants to come on the line next, make sure you press 1. Otherwise, after this call, I'll be getting off if there's nobody else that wants to come in. Now, watch this. The reason why, he's preparing you, and he's preparing your ministry, and God really don't want you to be distracted. The reason why you're trying to get alone time with God, you want to get that quiet time in, because you know it's some things that you need to tighten up on. I ain't here to embarrass you. There's some things I see I'm not going to go into. Now, watch this. There's some things that you need to work on, you know you need to work on, and you say, listen, I need to get with the Lord because I'm looking at him to really do a work in my life. Am I talking to you?
Amen.
So you're looking for God to do a work in your life. You're looking for God to perform a manifestation of his power in your life. And in fact, even talking about your anger, you don't like when you get angry. There was times you got angry, and then you immediately go to God. Because you immediately start feeling the conviction. Am I talking to you?
Amen. Praise him.
Amen. But I'm going to pray for you right quick. Hallelujah. Because you got a lot of fire in you, amen. And listen, God has called you to do conferences and all that stuff around this country. But you got to get that straight first. I already see that you had opportunity to do something. Mm-hmm. You preaching yet?
No, if anything, I guess I'd say that I would be more of a intercessor, but people say they see preaching on me, but I haven't stepped into that until I just feel more comfortable as being more so of an intercessor.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why you're going through what you're going through. See, you're trying to be an intercessor, but when you call to the nation, ain't that something? See, folk who call to the nation, that's how they talk. I'm just an intercessor, prophet. You know, I'm just an intercessor. And when you're really more than that, any of them boogers who think they call to the nation, they ain't even called to the nation. But it'd be folk like you that's actually called to the nation and don't want to go. Hey, God Almighty. Let me pray for you right quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, touch this vessel of God, Lord God. And God, I remove the cobwebs in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Open the eyes and ears of her understanding, God. Allow her to see the purpose and the plan that you have for her is good, not evil, but for her to have an expected end, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, lift your hands up. Lord God, lift one of your hands up. Hallelujah. Keep on the phone. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, just manifest your power in her life, Lord God. I break the back of every, Lord God, spirit, Lord God, that's trying to come against her and torment her thoughts, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, I ask you in the name of Jesus. I see a fast for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to prescribe a 7-day fast for you. Can you handle it?
Amen.
If you can't, just say, prophet, I can't
Amen.
Handle it.
No, I'm going to handle this. With the help
okay.
of the Lord.
Okay, now watch this. This is how you're going to do it. Okay, watch this. You're going to, before you go on this 7-day fast, you're going to have to take 3 days. So guess what? It's going to be a 10-day process. But the first 3 days, you're going to detox. Because there's certain foods and stuff that God wants to detox you from. Okay? Because if you don't mm-hmm. detox from these foods, what's going to happen is when you start your fast, you may start having those little body aches and headaches. Okay? So you're going to have to take 3 days to detox. Okay? Drink your green tea, vegetables and fruits and stuff like that. Just cut out all the meat and just start fruits, vegetables, and, you know, green tea, fusion water, things like that. And then you're going to go on your fast, amen. You're going to go on your fast. Hallelujah. You're going to do 3 days of nothing but water. And then on the fourth day, watch this. On the fourth day, you're going to eat, and then you're going to go back on your fast and do 3 more.
Okay.
So you're going to do 3 days. You're going to do 3 days, stop for a day, then you're going to pick up and do 3 more.
Okay.
You say, well, prophet, well, I thought you said she's doing a 7-day fast. Well, on the seventh day, God did what?
Rest.
On the seventh day, he rests. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, touch her in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, God. Let her know that she don't have to fight this battle alone, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you love her and that your grace is sufficient. Make perfect your weakness, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the power of dooming upon her, God. I thank you that she's called for such a time as this, Lord God. Awaken her in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything that's on the inside of her, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that your purpose and the plan for her life, even the gifting, God, that needs activating, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Who was the last person that laid hands on you?
Who was the last person that laid hands on me as far as praying wise?
I'm talking about just, you had the impartation yet? Because you need a stirring. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening. I mean, no one recently. I mean, maybe a couple of months ago.
Okay, who was that? Because I saw somebody. The reason why I saw somebody.
It was Prophet Brian Carr.
Prophet Brian Carr. Okay, so you just went in the line and he just prayed for you, right? Okay, what did he pray? He didn't impart you. He just prayed for a particular reason, huh?
Like I guess he just was saying, you know, as far just laid hands on me and just prayed over me.
Basically prayed over you. Amen. Amen. So you need what you need is the impartation. Amen. The name. Who's your leader?
My bishop here in D.C.
Okay. Well, you need to go to your bishop, amen, and tell him you want some prophetic training, okay?
My bishop is ill.
The bishop is ill. Okay.
Yes.
So that's who you're underneath, right?
Yes.
Okay, then you need to pray to God for relief.
Okay,
because if Bishop's sick, guess what? That's affecting a lot of things that's going on in your life. My God,
okay.
We're getting to the heart of the matter now. We're getting right to the heart of the matter right now. Ain't God good? Now watch this. Now we're getting to the root of the matter, what's going on in your life. Okay? Because Bishop is sick, a lot of that, you're feeling the weight of that as well.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying that, well, probably you can tell her to leave a leader high and dry and stuff like that. But if Bishop is sick, then, you understand, he'll always be a father. But right now, she needs something else. She needs, she needs training. She needs training for a mentor. Hallelujah. Amen. So you need training, amen. And just pray to God, amen. If God releases you, get your release. If God releases you, pray. After this one, so when you go on that 7-day fast, put that before the Lord. Say, Lord, where do you want me to go? And guess what? I guarantee you, God will shift you. Guarantee you, God will shift you. Bishop will always be your papa. He'll always be your papa.
Okay.
He'll always be your papa. You know,
okay.
but this is a season. I mean, this is a season, and you know, God is calling you to some. You know, He's calling to your great work. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless you, amen. I've been on the phone with you about 10-15 minutes now.
I thank you. God be the
amen.
Glory.
To God be the glory. God bless you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We're here, amen, on the Lamb of God in the name of Jesus Christ. We bless the Lord, amen. But those who are tuning in, those who are listening in on the World Wide Web, if there's nobody else, amen, we're going to get ready to dismiss. If there's nobody else, those who are on the line, we thank you for calling into the Lamb of God in the name of Jesus Christ. It's been a wonderful opportunity to bring you nothing but the very best in eagle language, etiquette from the prophetic. Join us, amen, this Sunday, amen, at Cannonbridge Road, 1313 Cannonbridge Road, Cadova, South Carolina, 1313 Cannonbridge Road, Cadova, South Carolina, 4 o'clock service, amen, at the Shofars of Glory Temple. Will we bring you the very best, amen, in revelatory prophetic teaching, amen, getting you where you need to be in life in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So God bless you. We thank God, hallelujah, for the Lamb of God in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.
salvation. Yes, you did. To put it back together again.